Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
All of you should be watching right now on ESPN, too. Just seeing the highlights of Keyshawn Johnson on Dancing with the Stars with Sharna. I mean, you look good. Like, you know how you always say it looks right? You look right.
I look right. I look
you
the
look
part.
Right. What was the issue? What was the breakdown of why you were a one and done?
Bill Nye the Science Guy is more athletic.
Besides the fact that Bill Nye the Science Guy moves better than you. That can't
no,
be true.
No, it's all the social media crap that goes on in our...
Oh, you're blaming? That's what you're blaming? You're
not, well, you're not yeah, that, no, other... it is, though, because you get the you had to have all the people voting and doing all the pushing it and promoting it and, you know, and so a lot of the people. And not only that, look at the lineup that I was up against. I was up against the death lineup, okay? If you look at the lineup, I had, I would say 90% of the contestants, maybe even more percentage, 95% of the contestants had a dancing background. Like Carbon Blue. Like, why am I going up against a dude that dances for a living?
It's true.
Like, come on, man. No, like, seriously. That's not fair.
Stack deck. Yeah,
you also lost to Snooki.
You lost to Snooki?
Well, look, man, relax. Okay, she has a following from that show.
So once again, you're saying that it was because it was a large social media following that just voted you out or didn't vote enough for you, maybe. That's what
I didn't have
is,
enough.
Right?
I didn't have enough votes. They got more votes than me. What do you – like, come on, Christina Milian, you know who that is, hon?
But what did the judges say?
Wait, hold on. Do you know who Christina Milian is?
No.
Okay, she's an actress, an entertainer, okay. Singer, dancer. Mm-hmm. That's another one. Okay, I could go, man. God,
wait,
the girl
Valerie
eventually...
Harper was on this show.
Yes.
How old was she?
At
the time,
I don't know. I don't know. She was on the show though, but she
wait,
has a dancing
Bill,
background.
Bill Engvall, come on, man.
She was like 71.
Jack Osborne? This is who? This is...
Everybody had followers except me. I didn't have no social media. Zero.
Jerry
Harper
Rice,
was a
Jerry
grandmother.
Jerry Rice didn't use that excuse.
Wow.
Oh, God. It's
that part...
Different...
See, now I'm a little disappointed. Now that I see the list... So this is... So that what I want to know what the judges said, though. I mean, you're moving all
nothing.
Right. I mean, you got real low at the end there. I'm pretty impressed with the knee... I thought your kneecap would have shot across the dance floor, but you stayed intact. That was impressive.
No, they said I was fine. They just, you know how it is. And I wasn't showing enough skin and stuff either.
I was going to say, you should have gone shirtless. That would have really sold.
Definitely. Here's the ironic thing, by the way, guys. He wore a tie and a vest. This is a guy that doesn't believe in wearing a suit on air to talk sports. But we're going to wear a full tie to the neck dancing.
But that's not sports.
But never mind.
Why would you wear a suit and tie on a morning radio show?
No. That's like, not my point. My point is that you're so against dressing up, but in this one you overdress.
Well, they like dressed me. I didn't dress myself. That's what she picked out. My partner picked my stuff out.
Oh, all right. So once again, boy, you really deflect well. So what was your fault in this whole thing? Was there one thing that you just did?
Point the finger, right?
That's this it.
It's him.
Not the thumb.
Not me.
Never the thumb, always
no,
the finger.
No, not the thumb. No. The only thing that I would say was my fault is I didn't have a social media presence.
That's it. You didn't push the social media part.
I don't
enough.
Have a presence. I don't. You know, I'm not tweeting not every 30 seconds. What do I look like, Jay Will? Like,
Warren Sapp came in second when he did it.
Jeez.
Yeah, first of all, it was a different format, too. So if you better know what you're talking about, Patrick.
T.O. made it to the quarterfinals 8 years after you.
Valerie Harper was a grandma, and she beat you.
Stop, man.
That's rough, man.
Stop.
Anyways.
Your clip, by the way, real quick. Sorry, your clip in that score, you got a 17 out of 30. Bad job.
Oh, here are the judges. Let's see. Carrie Ann, a 6.
She didn't like me.
Len,
he didn't like me.
A 5. Bruno.
He hated me.
Man, Bruno didn't like you at all.
I think
everyone did. Bruno jumps all over the place. He can't get a smile off his face, and he looked miserable.
Hey, the best part about it, though, is you remember me. That means that I got taken out first. So that's all that matters. If I'd have been the fourth to get taken out, you wouldn't even remember.
You're the number one loser. That's what you were. It was great. If you ain't first, you're last anyway, right? It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Alan Hahn hanging out with Key. If you need a paint job on your car, when life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako. Go to Mako.com today. We have been talking about something that has a lot of people reacting, and that is the Kyrie Irving to the Lakers situation. The Jeannie Buss tweet that I'm kind of deciphering is that she's torn about this and getting a lot of different input about it and wishes Kobe was here to kind of help her through a decision like this. And Wendy telling us about LeBron maybe using the Kyrie thing as leverage to get what he wants because he is due for an extension come August. And as Key and I have been kicking around, whether or not like the I don't want to say the perils, but I can't think of a better word right now, of bringing Kyrie in after seeing what happened in Brooklyn, we have both have different takes on it, and everybody else wants to chime in as well. At 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So let's continue. Let's see. Who do we go with here? Do you want somebody on your side or on my side?
I don't care what you pick. I don't need a side. I mean, people have their own feelings about the way, you know, Kyrie
okay.
is. And
I'll so take somebody on my side then.
Yeah, you do whatever you want to do.
Barry's in Virginia.
Anyway.
Barry.
Yes, sir. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning,
What's
Barry.
What's happening?
Not a whole lot. Let me ask you one question real quick. If Chad Pennington, when you were playing with him, would have called you and told you that he wasn't going to make the game because his sister's birthday, come on, man, be honest. Tell me what you're going to do.
But he didn't make the game because of his sister's birthday. I mean, he didn't miss the game because of his sister's birthday. So what you got to do is you have to stop listening to individuals shaping it a certain way. He was already – taking a leave
of absence.
He took
2 weeks off from the team in the middle
of the season. He was already doing that. And he attended his sister's birthday party during that time period. He didn't decide on a Monday and when they're playing, oh, I'm just going to go to my sister's party and I'm not going to play. So don't make it sound as if that's what he did because that's not what he did.
Right. What Barry's saying is while he was taking this leave, him being out partying was, in a lot of fans' eyes, a bad look. Because, wait, you're away because you're disturbed and distraught, but now you're out and, you know, the video surface of you just
I'm celebrating my sister because I want to be around my family, and my family gives me comfort. Well, I don't get why people want to try to make it seem like he decided they played on a Monday and I'm not going to play. This is not an MIA situation. He was
this
not
wasn't
missing
a one
action.
Day, right? This wasn't
no.
a. I'm not playing tonight because I want to party instead. That's,
no.
that's right. He was already taking that leave
so
of absence.
So Barry's probably not there right now, but he's probably still listening. Go. That's what happened, Barry.
Okay.
So when people are out there saying it, they need to really give context to the situation instead of trying to just jump all over Kyrie and bury him. I don't know Kyrie, so I'm not a friend of Kyrie's. I don't have his number in my phone. So I'm not taking up for him. I'm trying to simply explain to people the situation as I know it.
Okay. Well, James in North Carolina has an explanation of the situation as you know it. James.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch you dudes. And, Key, you know, this morning, you're just making excuses, man. Everybody seemed to make excuses for Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving laces him up just like everybody else. You blame Durant because Durant didn't talk to him right. Come on, Key. You better than that. Okay? You better than that, Key. Quit making excuses for Kyrie because you want him at the Lakers to win. The Warriors still going to stomp y'all in the ground because Kyrie will be somewhere because he's having some other kind of problems with some other kind of stuff. And you'll be sitting there saying, well, you know, we thought that LeBron could talk to him. Quit making excuses, Key. You
well,
better
look, baby,
than that.
Let me tell you. First of all, I'm not making excuses. As I said, I don't know the man. And if he comes to the Lakers, then we're going to embrace him. There's no question about it. But at the same time, I'm going to be objective, and I'm going to say what I think and what I know. And I know it as he didn't go to the games because he had personal issues he was dealing with. And if you can't get over those personal issues and you don't want to accept that he had personal issues and it affects the way you think about him, there's nothing I can say. I don't think about it that way because I've seen a number of athletes in my day as a player and as not a player need to take time away from the game for whatever issues they may have to recharge their batteries. I'm not oblivious or blind to the fact of an individual seeing something just because he makes millions of dollars and he's seeing, again, people that look like him gunned down and treated wrong in the streets. And he wants to somehow inject himself in that. And because it was affecting him, he felt like he couldn't do his job on the basketball court. He would take that leave of absence to do what he felt he needed to do to help whoever and whatever. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Even if he was on my team, I would be okay with that because I don't want a guy on my team that's not in the right state of mind. Why would I want that? That's going to affect everything we're doing on the court or on the field.
Understood. But again, I think fans consider this, that your team comes first no matter what, and when your team needs you to win games, you're not there for them. Fans are going to hold that against you. That's just reality, fans can hold it against them,
but fans got to also be realistic and understand how athletes think and where athletes are at. They're not this shut up and dribble. It's just not like that.
Nobody ever said shut up and dribble.
No, you didn't say it, but that's what fans be saying, and that's what they think.
Well, when he
– or else they wouldn't even be having these issues with him.
I'll tell you what. I think he's going to be a Laker. I think it's inevitable. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out this season, especially with LeBron knowing that LeBron wanted him there. We'll see where it goes. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So we'll keep going with your calls throughout the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And coming up, we get back into the NFL, and we're going to, you know, we play games on this show. Fill in the blank coming up next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Wait until you hear what one of our insiders says about a two-time All-Star looking for a Supermax. You guys already have a Supermax. Here I am. Huh? No good?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, we love playing games on this show. It's one of the things I like about hosting the show, Key, is we're all about games. And sometimes it's a game within the game. And to do that, we like to bring in guests to play games with us. We bring in Jeff Darlington to join us right now, our ESPN NFL reporter.
Jeffrey!
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Let's play some games. Let's play some games, you know?
Did you happen to catch Keyshawn on Dancing with the Stars, though? Did you see that at the top of the hour? We were playing some of that stuff.
No, but I'll make sure to go back and take a peek.
You have to see. He's a guy that makes fun of all of us. Like somebody like you that dresses Natalie every day when you're on Talking Sports, and he makes fun of people like us for actually wearing a button-up shirt and whatnot. You have to see what he's wearing dancing.
He hates it.
A little over the top. Just saying. Anyways, we get into the game to play today. Fill in the blank, Jeff Darlington. So blank will be the Panthers' starter this year at quarterback, of course.
Ooh, good start. Good start. I'm going to say Baker Mayfield. And I say it because the influx of excitement and I don't know, something about Baker that he brings to the table will make people in Carolina excited. And I feel like, I don't know that I'm saying he's the better quarterback between him and Sam Darnold, but I think that he will flash in a way that will make him feel like he's the answer right now. So I'll say Baker.
I'll say Sam Darnold. Yes, ooh, that is correct. I am a Trojan, and I'm going with a Trojan. I think in the end, Sam Darnold
that's fair.
Is going to you know, hold off Baker Mayfield. And I know Baker Mayfield went to the playoffs, and everybody's excited about it, and Sam's had an up-and-down career in the NFL. But this is Sam Darnold's job to lose, and I think Sam steps up and continues to be the starter.
Mm. All right, with that in mind then, the Panthers will finish blank in the NFC South. Jeff?
Third. I feel like that's an easy one. They're just still not there. I mean, if McCaffrey stays healthy, fine. Maybe they're better, but I still don't think that they're in the Saints and the Bucks category. So I'll say third.
Yeah, this is an easy one, just like Jeff said, third. I mean, they're not in the Saints or the Bucks category. Atlanta, that they'll finish fourth, and I think Sam and company will do just fine finishing third.
All right, that was an easy one. This one might not be as easy.
Yeah.
A lot of second-year quarterbacks now after that quarterback draft from 2 years ago that we're looking at. So who the best year two quarterback, Jeff Darlington, will be blank?
Oof. Okay, I'm easily between Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance, even though Zach Wilson I think will be improved too. I just think those other two guys. But we haven't seen Trey Lance, so that's not even – that doesn't count for me. So I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence last year was a total disaster. You can't convince me that he is not still supremely talented. I love Doug Peterson teaching him the ways of the NFL properly. So Trevor Lawrence, this feels like it should be a pretty good leap for him.
You know, it all depends on what you really – I guess when you talk about who's going to have the better year, is it based on statistics? Is it based on winning? Or is it just based on them getting better? Because if I'm looking at them getting better, I think it's Trevor Lawrence. If it's based on statistics, it could be anybody. But I think I almost called you Jeremy. Jeff said is that when you have a guy like Doug Peterson who knows how to coach quarterbacks at the NFL level opposed to Urban Meyer, you probably are going to go with Trevor Lawrence in this situation.
Trevor Lawrence, and you mentioned Trey Lance, and you might even brought up Zach Wilson. We haven't heard Mac Jones's name at all, and he did actually lead his team to the playoffs. My goodness. Justin Fields, a lot of names here to think of.
Yeah, but it's not going to get that much better. The improvement level is not.
All right. So you're saying he is where he's at.
Well, just trying to play the game.
Who's going to be the best one? all right, Jeff Darlington plays.
Who's going to be the best? You know what? I'm still going with Trevor Lawrence.
He's going to be all right. So better, like just for the whole year, not necessarily who's going to improve.
The whole thing.
But yeah. All right. So that's it. He's in on Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. So let's continue with fill in the blank. The best team in New York. The New York market, meaning the New York City area, even though they don't play in New York. Sorry, Buffalo, will be blank.
Okay. The Jets. I like what Joe Shane will be doing as the GM of the Giants. I think Brian Daboll is a good coach, but I still think that they're several years away from being any kind of contender at this point. The Jets, meanwhile, have done a lot to improve. If that young group of receivers can step up and Zach Wilson can continue to ascend, they're clearly going to be the better team in the New York market.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Giants. I think the Giants have players that can play the game.
Oh,
they got
really?
A different coaching staff. They just got to figure out the quarterback situation. And if Brian Daboll is what we think he is as a head coach, much like he was as an offensive coordinator, I think the Giants will be better than the Jets. People were excited about the Jets because of the draft picks. They still got to get on the field and play with no experience, right? The NFL is different than college football. It's totally different than college football.
I think we can all agree that the difference will be in which quarterback plays better, right? I mean, in the end, that's really what's going to matter. Both defenses should be pretty good. It's just which quarterback, you know, is not terrible is where And that's usually what we say in New York. You know, who's just not as bad as the other guy, unfortunately. As we continue with fill in the blank, Jeff Darlington, blank will win the AFC West. The Wild Wild West.
I still go Chiefs. Right, I'm in the right division. Yeah, I still go Chiefs. I mean, I understand that that's becoming such a competitive division, especially Devontae Adams now and what the Chargers have been doing. But I'm still to beat the champs. You got to beat the champs, and the Chiefs are still the champs.
Yeah, the Chiefs haven't been the champs in a while, Jeff. But I would say it's going to be the Chargers. I hate to say it. James is going to scream at me and curse me and everything. But I think it's the Chargers. I think this young quarterback has got to take the next step in Justin Herbert. We know what they got in Khalil Mack. We know what they have totally on the defensive side of the ball. The running game is solid. They got the tall trees on the outside at the receiver position. And I'm sure they're not done yet. When they start to look at some of the stuff in training camp, to go pluck a guy here or two, I just think that Brandon Staley has to do a better job of managing the games. If he does a better job at managing the games, they're going to run away with the division. And I'm not talking about a six-game runaway, but they're going to win the division.
And Key is referencing one of our producers, James Steele, our resident Chiefs fan. Okay, fill in the blank. Here's one for you, Jeff Darlington. Gronk will come back in week blank.
James wanted to say something. You want to say, James?
I said go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Oh, go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Go Chiefs. I'm with you, James. Gronk will be back. That's a fun question. Probably would require an analysis of their schedule to see when, like,
the bye week.
I don't know, you know, it's all going to be a matter of injuries and skill positions. But I'll set the over-under on week 6. I think it'll actually be earlier than maybe we're expecting, because he'll want to get back into football shape, which he always says doesn't take that long in time for a playoff run. I'll set the over-under on week 6 for Gronk's return.
I don't think he will return. I think he's done. And the reason he'll be done is because Tom Brady and the Buccaneers will not need him. They'll find the red zone targets that they need from the other tight ends, which is pretty good, and Mike Evans. Okay. So because of that, they won't need Gronk. And they're going to be like, oh, well, we don't need you now. We're good.
The hype around the Bills, Jeff Darlington, is blank.
I'd say real. I mean, they deserve the reality that is the hype. I mean, this is a really great team that will be in the mix for the Super Bowl, what seems like, this year and seemingly for the foreseeable future. So for a team that has long struggled. Yeah, I'd say the hype is real right now for the Bills, especially because of Josh Allen.
I think the hype is real, but I think they're overhyped. I think the hype is real. They're a legit team that'll be in the mix, but I think it's overhyped because people act like that they just can walk in and be 16-0, 17-0 type team and win the Super Bowl. They're not handing out Lombardi trophies like M&Ms. It doesn't work like that. You know, and so I think they're hyped, but I think they're overhyped a lot.
Overhyped. They're one of the most fascinating teams in the AFC, and yet, as you said, they haven't won anything.
It's so
but
funny.
They're built to win now.
It's like, so funny, though.
It's time.
People act like, Jeff, that losing Brian Daboll as an offensive play caller who taught this quarterback how to play – isn't that big of a damn deal? I don't understand it. When you lose something like that, it's crazy. You can't just lose your offensive coordinator.
Key, that's the way I feel about New Orleans.
Hey, watch out.
People always talk about New Orleans like it's like they're going to be just fine, Jeff, this year. And then I'm like, you lost Sean Payton. Like,
yeah, relax.
The impact of some of these coaches.
Relax. New Orleans will be just fine.
All right. There we go. It only applies to certain teams.
Last but not least, because we're doing two-a-days, and one of the teams we're doing today in our two-a-days is the Chicago Bears. So, Jeff Darlington, the Bears will win blank games this season.
Speaking of, look, they won, what, 6 games last year? I'll say 7 this year. They're one game better this year. I just got to see it to believe it, man. I don't know. I hate to say it. I think they're going to be one game better than last year.
I said 4 games. I'm giving them 4.
Ooh, and that's 4, okay.
And
you went a little
that's
lower.
Okay. You got a new head coach. You have no offensive weapons for a young quarter. I mean, they don't have anything. They're out there messing around with Jeff Darlington, Keyshawn Johnson, and Alan Hahn. Like, come on.
That's right. I'd take Key. I'd take you still.
I can't help you.
That is bad news in Chicago. Jeff, always good news when we talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Jeff Darlington, the ESPN NFL reporter. So on the Bears, what should we expect from Justin Fields this season? We'll get into that more.
ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days.
I think realistically, if Fields can not let the burden of winning games affect him this year and try to grow in spite of what could be a very rough year for the Chicago Bears, they'll be set up to actually get to see what he's capable of. But I think this year is going to be a learning year and a trying year for this team.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. See us on ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Alan Hahn, Key, hanging out with you today on a Friday.
Yes,
in the summer.
Friday.
And we are, what's the date? The 8th. So we're about 10, 11 days right away from when rookies have to start showing up for training camps in the NFL. And then about 12 to 15 days away, depending on the team, from actual camps beginning. So we're getting closer and closer, Key, to the NFL season. And in Chicago, there was hope last year when they moved up and they drafted Justin Fields. And it took a minute for them to finally commit to play him. He played at times, showed flashes. Then they make all these changes with that organization. Matt Eberflus takes over as the head coach. He was the defensive coordinator in Indianapolis. Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, had spent a lot of time, actually, in Green Bay last couple of years as the quarterback's coach with Aaron Rodgers. And I kind of laugh. I said to you before the show, quarterback's coach. So was he coaching Aaron Rodgers? He's 34 years old. Or was Aaron Rodgers coaching him? Was he learning a lot from Aaron Rodgers in that situation? But still, he brings that knowledge over to the Bears. Justin Fields now in year two with a roster that hasn't been majorly upgraded. You know, you just said you see them winning only four games this season, Chicago. That's not a great year for a second-year quarterback. Could there be whispers at the end of the year that, okay, four wins means you're going to probably have a top-five pick in a quarterback draft? Should the Bears be looking for a quarterback if they don't have a good season?
Well, it's his second year, but it's really his first year. With the new staff. He didn't play the entire season. He was on a yo-yo with the coaching staff. They bring him in, take him out, blah, blah, blah. So this is really his first year. He's in a similar situation that Jalen Hurts was in
right
a year ago. And so when you look at that, you have to say to yourself, this team isn't as good as Philadelphia was, but you saw Jalen Hurts take some steps in the right direction, in fact, lead his team to the playoffs. And I think Jalen Hurts saw the opportunity and took it, where Justin Fields has no players around him. I mean, I don't want to dismiss any of those guys, but they don't have the type of players on the roster as a whole that they can compete at the larger level. 2023 is the year. They'll have more cap space. They can go in free agency and wild people. They can do some things in the draft. They're a year older on the coaching staff, a year older for Justin Fields. So I'm not even worried about 2022. It's a throwaway year. Four games, great. As long as he's showing progress showing that he's an NFL-caliber quarterback, that's all you really care about.
Okay, with that in mind then, what quarterbacks well. As a receiver, I'm sure. You look at a quarterback. I love when you talk quarterbacks because you see things differently. So what do you need to see from Justin Fields this year, four wins or whatever, that will convince you, no, they got the guy. They got their guy.
Well, I think you start off by the command of the huddle. What's the command of the huddle? Is he getting his team in and out of plays? Is he getting them in and out of the huddle? Is he learning from the mistakes? When he throws an interception, is he learning from that? And the next time they call that particular play, he goes to the right read. Those are the sort of things that you want to see. And I think when you look at it, he's no different than anybody else that plays the quarterback position in the National Football League that is young. He's no different than Peyton Manning was. He's no different than Dante Culpepper was young and many others that came before him. He's only in his second season, which is really his first season, because he didn't play a full slate of games a year ago, and he has an entirely new coaching staff. He doesn't have the nearly the playmakers that they had a year ago on the team. And he doesn't have it's different. It's a different situation for him.
So is it fair to say he doesn't have the same pressure on him maybe that another second-year quarterback like Zach Wilson? Zach Wilson, they have picked up a lot of pieces to put around him to make him successful. They're both second-year quarterbacks. Both of them, the year before it was kind of a mess. They're not on the same level, right? One guy has to perform the other, and you're saying Justin Fields might not have the same pressure?
Zach has a little more pressure because Zach's staff is still there. Everybody's there, and they added pieces, right? I mean, the Chicago Bears, they lost their best receiver in Allen Robinson, who's in L.A. with the Rams now. Mm-hmm. So when you start Khalil Mack in L.A. with the Chargers, when you start looking at the roster, the Jets roster is way better with a coaching staff in their second year. So you would naturally think that the Jets would win more games and be more competitive than the Chicago Bears.
What else do you expect from the Chicago Bears on the defensive side, moving on from Khalil Mack? If we get away from Justin Fields for a minute, just looking at the rest of that roster, the head coach is more of a defensive guy, right? Like, can they be competitive in a division that still has Aaron Rodgers and has a Vikings team that also has changed at coach, but still has a lot of the same pieces of a team that always felt like they, I don't say underachieved, but could have been or should have been a better team?
Look, it doesn't matter what they got on the defensive side, special teams. They don't have anything. Right. So if they win four games, that's a plus. Jeff said seven. I'm like, nah, man, they're not going to win one more game than they did a year ago.
He said seven.
They're not going to win seven. They're a four-win team, and there's nothing wrong with that in a rebuilding year. All we want to do is see the quarterback show progress and get better. If he does that, then they got their quarterback of the future. They can stop talking about we never had a quarterback since Sid Luckman.
they've had a ton of quarterbacks too. They're like the Browns. I mean, they're really similar to the Browns, the team that just perpetually
Browns
trying to find that.
Believe it or not, the Browns quarterbacks that they had was better than the Chicago's quarterbacks since history. Think of this.
You didn't like Rex Grossman?
Tim Couch was okay. He wasn't like complete failure to a degree. Mm-hmm. He was okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't like Rex Grossman, I'm guessing, right? You didn't like that. It's amazing how some franchises like the Packers can go from one Hall of Famer to another, and yet others can go three decades without finding a guy that is of the caliber quarterback.
Some quarterback. Well, see, let me see. Justin Fields. Who are the Justin Fields? I'm trying to think who they drafted high other than like Justin Fields.
Well, Mitch Trubisky.
Everybody that I could think of was
Mitch Trubisky was a high draft pick.
Yeah, but Mitch had success. They just. I don't know why they just soured on him so fast. I have no idea. But I like Mitch Trubisky. Again, here's a quarterback who led a team to the playoffs twice, but I think it was so much vitriol and hate for him because the way the coaches presented the situation.
Yeah.
They were trying to use him more as an escape goat to save their own rear ends. Well, that's why he got thrown to the Wolves.
You think Ryan Pace looked at the draft, saw Fields, and the opportunity to move up for him, and decided this could save my job? Like, you think that was the decision? What, remind me again, where did Trubisky end up? I know he ended up leaving Buffalo.
He's at the Steelers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
well, he'll be the star. He'll be the starter in Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin.
You think he's going to win there?
Well, yeah, I think he'll be fine.
You think they can win?
I think they can. I think they can win. I think he's going to be fine. I just – what happens again, and I say this all the time, huh? When the noise starts to get loud, people buy into it.
Yeah, you're big on that.
Because it's the truth.
It's like an avalanche where – well, you could see that in Chicago. See, as a Bears fan, if I was a Bears fan, I'd be so frustrated with that fact that you made that move. You bring in Trubisky. He has a little bit of success. Things don't go well, mainly because your roster is not very good, and you make him the scapegoat. He's out. You make a move up to get a quarterback who now has to go through the same thing of a not a good roster. You got to wait even more. He goes to the Steelers, and what if he has success there? You'd be looking like that.
You got to blame somebody.
Well, that's why that's not Ryan Pace isn't there anymore. Right? That's why they had to make those changes. And we'll see what happens now in Chicago. All right, we got your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. 3776. Coming up, though, five things that Key is looking forward to seeing in the upcoming NFL season, which is creeping closer and closer. We'll get to that next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Jay is the basketball expert on the show, being one of the top point guards to come out of Duke. No question about it, so he sees it different.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Alan Hahn in for Max, hanging out with Key. It's beautiful by Seaport.
Oh, you going to go lay out?
In New York City. I've been trying to, but clearly it doesn't, that doesn't take, man. I don't know what I used to get so tan when I was younger. It just doesn't happen anymore. I don't know.
Go lay out in a park somewhere in New York. That's really great.
I've never done that. You ever see that like Central Park or Corona? Like they're just laying out like just randomly, just laying out on the grass.
I'm like, oh God. I cringe every time I see it. I'm like, there's no way.
Where else are you supposed to go though if you're in the city?
No, I get it. It's a different type of living. I get it.
You know, over by the Seaport where they have, there's another pier, and then it's like elevated, and they have a lot of Adirondack chairs that you could sit on.
Yeah.
And sit in the sun. Like one of our security guys, Vinny, he loves that during his break. He goes out there, he sits in the sun, he closes his eyes, and meditates. And I was like, you know, like, I don't know if I trust anything to close my eyes and meditate in that area, but
yeah,
that's sun, like, that you need, though.
That's one of the things that. It's very, like, I go to my backyard. I will not, unless somebody else is in the backyard with me, I won't go out there and just close my eyes and lay down. I just won't do it because I live in the mountains and there's all sorts of wildlife. Like, I just.
Just all of a sudden a lion just hanging out next to you.
Dude, you fall asleep, there's no telling what might happen. So I can't do it. I refuse to. Unless somebody is out there, then I can fall asleep. My mind and my body just won't allow me to do it by myself.
Right, yeah, you have that, your protective instinct, always like wondering what's lurking.
Sitting there, wake up, and a damn coyote is doing like this.
Just staring at you. All right, we got calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know what else we have right now? We put you to work. Some key observations, five things that Keyshawn Johnson is interested in seeing heading into the NFL season. Take it away, Key.
Number one.
One for me is Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson without each other. What is that going to look like? Will Pete Carroll show everybody I can win without Russell Wilson? Look at me. I'm in the same position without him that I was with him. And can Russell Wilson go on to Denver and show that he really didn't need the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll to be cook Russ. He could do it without them, and he get the Denver Broncos ultimately to where they want to be, which is competing for a Super Bowl title.
Number two.
Will the Cincinnati Bengals be a one-year wonder? Will they just be a team that was a quick flash in the pan a year ago and everybody got all excited about the young nucleus and Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow's the guy. He wears the chains, and we all excited about him because he got swag, walking through the tunnel, getting ready for a game. Or will they be the Bengals of old?
Uh-oh.
Number three.
The Buffalo Bills, we talked about it a minute ago. Are the Bills overhyped? Will they eventually bill it again and be back to the Buffalo Bills, giving way to Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots to take back the AFC East? So will Josh Allen continue his assault on the National Football League?
Number four.
How will Kyler Murray look without DeAndre Hopkins in his first six games? DeAndre Hopkins, of course, is suspended for the first six games. Kyler Murray, big contract talks coming up. He's going to get that money before the start of the season. But how will the Cardinals and Kyler Murray look the first six games? Can they hold it together with his former college teammate and Hollywood Brown, along with whatever else they have on the offensive side of the ball? Could he be the long-term solution and answer in Arizona for the Cardinals? Certainly he will be paid as such. But number five.
Number five.
Of course, it's the New Orleans Saints and Jameis Winston. What will the Saints look like if Jameis Winston all of a sudden starts to struggle? Will he struggle, or will he be back to Jameis of old when he started off 5-2 prior to the injury and looking like the quarterback that was drafted number one overall by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out of Florida State? Or will we see a guy who was the 30 touchdown, 30 interceptions against when he was in Tampa Bay before Sean Payton fixed everything? So that is the key. Five observations. I think I got them all right.
Sean Payton's absence is definitely something to watch there with New Orleans. But I got to go back to a couple of these. First and foremost, the Russell Wilson without Pete Carroll, Pete Carroll without Russell Wilson. I think we kind of know Pete Carroll is going to struggle in Seattle this year, don't you think? I mean,
we think he will, but you know how coaches are. All of a sudden, they dig deep in their bag of tricks and come up with something and you know, the team is fighting and scratching and clawing.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, his energy, so, you know, I marvel at him.
I don't know. I got to see it. I don't know what it is. You know, you got to see it. Let me see it. Based on their roster and the makeup and losing Russell Wilson, but they still got guys like Lockett and DK Metcalf, and you know they're going to run the football. You know they're going to try to play hard-nosed defense. So we got to see it. Let's see what it is.
Let's see if Drew Lock can actually hit a target, because he does have targets to hit.
But well, when is you it guys- Drew Lock? Is it Drew Lock, or is it
Geno Smith?
Geno Smith. Right now, I hear it's Geno Smith.
Really? All right. Now, that would be a development as well. And when you guys were talking about – when you and Jeff Darlington were talking about AFC West – not AFC West. You were talking about what teams you were talking about. Yeah, AFC West. You didn't mention the Denver Broncos as a team that you think could compete in that division, right? You were the Chargers.
I got them finishing four in the division, but doesn't mean that they won't win 9 or 10 games. I just got them finishing four because the division is tough. Mm. I got the Chargers, Kansas City. I got the Chargers and Kansas City and the Raiders. Or I got Kansas City Raiders and the Chargers. And that's kind of how I have it.
What's up with the hate you have for the Bills, by the way?
Like, you really? Like, I don't have hate for them. I look at it different than a lot of people, though, huh? Okay, I think Brian Daboll, but when you lose an offensive coordinator that a quarterback has had since he entered the league and got better, and you now insert somebody who's never called plays, who's never been in that cockpit, it's a different feel. Yes, it may turn out to be better in the end and it starts, but if you lose too many games and you get behind the eight ball, now all of a sudden you're not – the number one, number two seed. Now all of a sudden you're the fifth seed. It's just different. I've never known a quarterback to lose his offensive coordinator at such a young age that helped develop him. And now you got a new guy who's never called plays before, who was just a quarterback coach.
Yeah, but
you continue to take off and be what you were under the other. I don't know a guy.
Interesting. Yeah, look. Some things like they've have enough that offense is going to change. Not like they're going to make major changes, but still.
No, it's not going to change, but you still, it's different in the ear.
Bills Mafia is going to be coming for you, man. Coming up, who has most pressure on them in the NFC East?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.